So now let me read John 15, verses 1 and 5. I am the true vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the vine dresser or gardener. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. Just to briefly capture spiritually where we've been coming in this last season. Last year, as the elders prayed and asked God, what are you wanting to do in this next season, this next time of New Crossing Church? We really sensed the Lord saying that he wanted to continue the work he was already doing in building our spiritual foundations, and that we were to be patient. Now, as we have learned, the Lord is always super smart, and we appear wise when we wait for him. Is that true? Isn't God really smart? That's why it's so good to say, what are you doing, God, as opposed to what do we think we should be doing? Well, I would never have dreamed all the spiritual foundational work God was going to do in this church in the last year by waiting on God. And not just this church, but my own life, even cracks in my foundation. He's expanding our foundations so that he can do more things in us and through us. And I finished in May a 2-year sermon series. Jesus tabernacled with us through the Gospel of John. So we spent 2 years, if you add up the Sundays, of going through the Gospel of John, because there's nothing more important in life than knowing who Jesus is. And if you want to know Jesus, where do you go to in the Bible but the stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of who he is. And so we just deepened our personal relationship with Christ. But the last Sunday was very special for me personally, because we transformed this whole facility into the Old Testament tabernacle with the different stations that, you know, that you, in the Old Testament, you discover there are 6 pieces of furniture where you move through, starting with the altar of sacrifice, ultimately ending up into the most holy of holies, where you meet the presence of God, which is upon the Ark of the Covenant. And so we transformed this building into a place in which we moved through the different stations of the tabernacle to ultimately come into God's presence. And it was very powerful. But at the same time, there was, at that day, a changing of metaphors that God was going to be using, a changing of pictures of what he's going to be doing. He was using a building metaphor of what he's building in this church, but I didn't even know it at the time, but he was starting to bring us into a transition of a gardening metaphor. So at the next Sunday began a 3-month sabbatical after my pastoring for about 18 years and never had one. And so I took a 3-month sabbatical just solely for the purpose of being still and getting recharged in God. But that last Sunday here, as we went through the tabernacle, I'd written a poem for that. Yeah, it seems like we got poems going this morning. And I just want to read the last stanza for you, because this is what Jesus was saying he's doing in this church and in our lives. See my hands. They are the hands of a gardener, creating such beauty for your heart to know. See the piercing of my hands, one of a Savior. I hold gently your hand and tightly your soul. That's what Jesus is doing with our lives. Jesus and John, and John only, when he was crucified, they buried him in a graveside garden. And he rose from that garden, and he began to grow a spiritual life in his people that had never happened in the history of mankind. Because our Lord has a gardener's heart. And just before I started that sabbatical, a man spoke in my life who didn't even know me, and he looked at me and he said that I was like green grass turning brown, and that the Lord would begin to refresh my soul, not knowing that I was thinking about needing a sabbatical. And so began a time of reflection, a time of refreshment and restructure. And before I sensed this new metaphor that God was bringing to New Crossing Church. I decided in my ignorance, you know, one of the things I want to do that would be good for my soul would be to tear down that old rock garden in the backyard and build a new flower garden. But I didn't even know a record drought was coming. And in my slowness, I'm not quick, but God luckily is persistent and he will keep after us if we're willing to listen. And as I'm watering this garden, I planted some new grass. He reminded me, remember how I spoke through that man that you're like green grass turning a little brown. Think about who I am in your life and in the church that I love so much. And he began to grow something new. The purpose of the Lord's garden is to create beauty. The purpose of the Lord's garden is to create beauty, but also produce fruit. So now let's look ahead. When we do spend time with God with no particular agenda, like I did this summer, the fruit that is produced is beautiful. When you don't come to God with lots of agendas, but just ears that are listening. And coming out of that, I didn't know that he was going to bring three sermon series. And the first one was Sabbatical Sage. The second was The Gardener's Hands. And this one we're in now is Working and Keeping the Garden. And God has been using these sermon series to finish the foundational spiritual work he was doing in New Crossing. Not that it finishes, probably the wrong word, because it's like, when has God ever finished transforming us and molding us into God's image, right? But finished in terms of that season for him to be able to do some new things. And the elders feel there's two areas that we are to concentrate on. So it's kind of a two-part vision for 2013, and I don't know how long this will go. I mean, we have our main vision as a church that we will never lose, bringing Jesus' love across the street. But for this next season, the first part of the vision is growing the beauty of the Lord's garden within a spiritual community. So it's the growing of the beauty part that I want to start as we look ahead. And one of the things, the need is for a community of people who are strong, healthy, and beautiful. And what God said to my heart for you guys is that's what New Crossing Church is now because of what he's been doing in us, right? Do you sense that? Did you see it up there? Did you hear it in the testimonies? That there is a growing beauty in the lives of individuals, of marriages in this church, the men's ministry, the women's ministry. There's something incredible going on. I'm so honored to even be able to witness it. Those are called real relationships. And one of the things I'm seeing on the horizon of our country is we are losing real relationships to virtual relationships. And what's a real relationship? Well, that's a three-dimensional. It's three-dimensional because you have face-to-face time. No, I don't mean Facebook, okay? I'm talking about real face-to-face time. And it's an experience of knowing someone more deeply than can be found in a two-dimensional screen as you look at it, all right? A virtual relationship, these are two-dimensional because the user can manage the profile, control what is known about them. If you don't like someone, you hit unfriend, right? Now, it's not that there's anything wrong with the virtual world when it's used for the exchange of information and get to know something or someone on a superficial level, but it's not where God meant us to live. It's, you know, the example of that would be, you could write your autobiography and I could read it. Even a book is a two-dimensional relationship or on the computer. And you and I could learn a lot about you. But think of reading an autobiography of somebody versus a close friend of that same person who has lived life with them. There's no comparison in the knowing. So there is a superficial knowing, not bad, but there's a profoundly deep knowing that can only happen in a real relationship. I've been seeing all over the Bible this season also God saying, seek my face. Seek my face. You see, God didn't send us a text message to communicate his truth and his love to us, did he? After God saved Israel from Egypt, brought them into freedom, he invited the Israelites to meet him on Mount Sinai, right? And what did Israel do? They hit the unfriend button when God tried to meet with them. So the Lord came in flesh and blood in Jesus Christ to meet with them, to build a relationship, a new kind of community. And so Jesus started a face-to-face community called the church. And Jesus looked the guys in the face of whom he had spent 3 solid years with. And you know what he said to them? In John 13:34. A new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. How do you do that? Well, we find it, they found it in a face-to-face relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, in faith, spiritually, we have even a more intimate, closer relationship with Christ than the 12 disciples could. So what are we going to do? Well, actually, let me pause for a moment, just say what I'm seeing. I didn't mention about what I see on the landscape of our culture is a growing hunger. There's an opportunity for us to be counterculture in a way that's desperately needed in this society. There's a growing void because there's a growing virtual relationship happening in our society. And it's one that there's a hunger that's going to be a hunger that will want to be filled with real relationships, one that no bar or sports club could fill. It's one especially that will be satisfied because it's only the church that can offer a spiritual relationship, one that goes deep. So there's no substitute, people, precious ones, for the experience that can happen in a spiritual community of people, men and women, as you're hearing, who love each other and are transformed and be able to do that because of who Jesus is in them. Our experience of God is enhanced rather than hindered by humanity that gets in your face and can't be managed, or the profile can't be controlled by a keyboard. Amen. We get face to face and it gets messy, but it's in the humanity that we discover the fullness of who God is, and he becomes more glorious. God's glory is revealed in and through people who are trying to love each other with the love that they're finding in Christ. And love, if it is anything, it's a relationship. And here's how we're going to do it. First, in this first part of our vision of growing something beautiful, we're going to establish our roots in Christ. We're going to explore together how to enter and live continually in the presence of God. God has already been establishing his roots in this church. You've been hearing about it in these ministries. We have life groups where, you know, it's where we get together during the week and we live life together. I wish I could take time just to tell you some of the testimonies from some of the life groups that have been going on. There's the men's ministry, the women's ministry, the youth, the armory, the junction. There is pastoral counseling. There's mentoring that's happening now. Men one-on-one, men with men, women with women getting mentored. There's freedom prayer ministry where God, Jesus is setting people free. It just happened this week. I can't wait for heaven so that we all get to watch the video of what God's doing in lives that we don't get to see. But even this week, God set someone free from things that they've been carrying since childhood so that he could set them free for something they were meant to be. And it is so exciting to say, and I'm not putting even gender to it because it's true of so many of you in this last year that has said, I want to be prayed for. That's what freedom prayer ministry is, being set free from and for something, being aligned with who God made us to be, being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for wherever that came from. So what we're going to do in establishing our roots beyond those things, we are continuing those things, but we are going to look at something called the daily office and Sabbath. Now, you all know about Sabbath, but we're going to push into that a little more this year because we want to be countercultural, which is saying, hey, be busy and crazy and insane and work 7 days a week, and we're going to understand how resting and pausing, trusting who God is in our lives, will bear more fruit than the activity of our hands. Then the daily office is something, it's an ancient Christian practice that meets with God at the beginning of the day, enters his presence, but I come to understand in my own life, there's a way in which you can meet with God in the morning and say, okay, I did my time with God in the Bible and prayer, and now I'm going to go to work. And then you meet God again the next morning if you're having daily devotions or on Sundays. But there's a way, which is what the daily office is we not just enter God's presence, but we continue in it. So at the end of this gardening series, one of the things that if I was to ask you, what's the one thing? We talked about soil management. We talked about pruning, planting seeds, the soil of gratitude, pleasant boundaries. What's been missing from the metaphor of a garden? Oh man, you guys are good watering. You've been listening. So we're going to be talking about watering the garden, which keeps it alive and fresh. Jesus said, I am the what? Living water, right? And he does it by his Spirit in our lives. So we're going to, in the next sermon series that comes after this, when we return to my preaching through one of the books of the Bible, as a church, we're going to, at the same time, come to our time with God daily in the same scripture verses, and I want you to learn how to pray and meditate in those in such a way that you carry it with you continually, not just for a learning experience. Our goal in this, our prayer, is that we will learn to live a daily rhythm of living in God's presence together by reading the same Bible passages and meditating and praying through them, and then I'll be preaching on those on Sundays, okay? We're going to be talking more of these things, and but I just want you to know this is one of the ways we're establishing our roots. The other part of growing the beauty, giving God room to grow beauty in our lives, is not just establishing the roots, but intertwining our roots in each other. So the establishing our roots is what God's doing in deep within us spiritually, but there's also, it's not enough just to grow deeper roots. We also need to find ways to strengthen the spiritual community, to intertwine our roots. And if you remember, and I want to use this illustration again, is the giant sequoia trees in California. These trees are huge, but they grow in such a way that they support each other by growing in groves and intertwining their roots. Now, these trees are the largest living thing. These trees are the largest living thing in all of our planet. And they're some of the oldest things that are around, and they're the tallest of all the trees. They are so tall, they reach upwards to 300 feet. They weigh 12, some of them weigh 12 million pounds each. Can you even get your brain around that? That's the size of an ocean freighter. And guess what? Their roots only go down 4 or 5 feet. How is that possible? Because they grow together in groves, and their roots intertwine with each other, and they give each other support. So in our church in this coming season, the elders are going to be asking you to seek for creative ways in which we can intertwine our roots even more as a spiritual community. Sometimes we find our strength and say, okay, I'm going to move on to something else. God said to my heart, go after your strength even more because our world's growing weaker in it. And so the MST's helping me explore how we can create a sense of community on Sunday mornings. Ministry leaders are looking at how to create a sense of community in their ministries. What's the point? As our society is losing its community to virtual world, New Crossing Church wants to offer a strong, healthy community for them to join. So, You want to create with the Lord something beautiful this coming year? Yeah? Say yes if you do. Yeah. Okay. The second part of the vision for 2013 is sharing the fruit of the Lord's garden with a secular community. Okay? So we've talked about growing the beauty of this spiritual community, but the second part of this is so critical that what God grows, the Namibia, going to Namibia is sharing that fruit with some other people outside of this church. The fruit that comes from a tree is meant to be enjoyed by who? Others, not the tree. Matter of fact, fruit that's left on the branch of the tree does what? Rots. It is dangerous for a church to only focus inward spiritually because the fruit will rot. So let's share what God's growing with others. The glider heads up the community ministry, and she's helping us as a church. It's not that they're doing it, but they're helping us as a church learn or figure out ways we can do that. Needed to water the garden a little bit. But here's something. What if we literally grew a garden? What if we actually, as a metaphor, literally grew a garden, our church? And what if, because that's what I've been asking this year, what if we could find a plot from one of the businesses in the business park or ask the city for a plot for the purpose of providing land for our church to grow produce for the community as one of the ways of New Crossing Church bring in its love across the street, Jesus' love across the street. What do you think? Sound cool? What this would do is it would become a prophetic act because we are believing that God would be using the spiritual fruit that he's growing in this church for the benefit of the world in new ways. It'd be a living metaphor of this vision of a garden that we have. And God just put this on my heart as not just a picture, but he was saying literally grow a garden together. All right, to kind of bring us to a close on this, and I want to invite the worship team back up. This garden would be used to connect our spiritual community with a secular community. And all of us would participate. Picture it. From breaking up the soil, planting the seeds, watering it, pulling weeds, harvesting. We could do it with our kids. I had one mom I shared the thought with. She goes, you know what my kids love doing? Pulling weeds. So this isn't something just for a few people. All of us could be signing up for ways that we would like to help grow this garden. And let's see what God does with it. Then it's not just grow the garden, but after we harvest it, and there's some amazing people in here with green thumbs and actually experience with this kind of stuff. I don't have a lot of experience with growing produce, but I know a lot of you do. And what's really neat is there's a gentleman I was we were talking, and he was talking about how he has done this with a group of people, and they take the food to a food pantry. But one of the beauties of New Crossing Church is relationship. So instead of taking it to a food pantry, and we don't have the specifics yet. This is what we are going to be praying into and doing. But let's ask the Lord to give us an actual community to give the food to for the purpose of building relationship. I don't want to drop it off somewhere. I want us to show up as a church and tell another community, we love you. Here is what the blessings God's given us, and let's get to know each other. What do you think of that? Are you ready to do some gardening with the Father? There's a sign up, not for specifics yet, but just in the back, if you feel called to this church and want to participate, and we're asking everybody to participate in some way or large way, we'll get, you know, just to get a sense of what God's doing, the elders have a sign up in the back. And I want to close with John 4:35. Jesus said to the disciples, looking them in the face, he said, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Soon the elders are calling all of us to a short season of fasting and prayer. And in those times, what we do is we find a couple nights to come together and find out what God is saying to us. Bow your heads. So for 2013, the vision God's giving us is working with Him in His garden to create beauty and produce fruit. So Father, thank you for the beauty you're growing in New Crossing Church. Thank you for those testimonies, God, and there is, that's not even a fraction of the number of stories of what you're doing in men and women, taking them from broken places, taking hearts. We heard a couple of those this morning. Hard hearts, soil needing breaking up and working in your compost so that it is rich for growth. Thank you for that you're doing it in the kids, our teens, and in us, God. And Lord, we want to say, we want to be an offering, not just to you, but the fruit of our lives to be offered to a dying community that doesn't realize a gardener has walked this planet who created it. And we ask that you use New Crossing Church to take on the image of a gardener who made us and love this world a little more. Amen. I want to invite you to stand now. And it's been a long time, but when this church first moved into this facility, we asked the Lord for a prayer. And we crafted a prayer that He spoke to us. And it's one I want to invite all of us to read out loud together. And it's been a while, but what's really cool about this prayer of bringing Jesus' love across the street, and this was 7 years ago, 6 years ago, it was around a agricultural gardening theme. And so now I feel like we're ready to live this in a way we've never lived it before. So let's read this out loud together. Dear Lord, You have called us to bring Jesus' love across the street. Lord, we seek You first in our own prayer times as a church before we do anything else. You have promised to give us Your Spirit-led strategies to love our neighbors as we come together in unity, in prayer, and in worship. You have told us there are many ways to cross the street and that we must come to You first before we go to them. Please teach us who we are in You. Expand our hearts with compassion for our neighbors. Show us how to pray and what to do. So now we're ready to plant the seeds. Lord, as we pray, prepare the condition of our neighbors' hearts to receive the message of God's love, like the farmer who prepares the soil for the seed. Please give us Your confidence and courage to sow the seed of Your word everywhere, regardless of where we think it should be sown, trusting that You know which hands and hearts are ready to receive the word of God. Now we water the seeds. Lord, give us opportunities to water the seeds by showing Your love through our friendships. Give us your eyes to see those who are broken and hurting and offer them your compassion. We pray that our neighbors will both see in us and hear through us the message, God loves you just as you are and too much to leave you that way. Living in season. Lord, we are going to love our neighbors. We need to be willing to stop for your divine interruptions in our busy schedules. Please give us the ability to create more time in our lives so we can be available to neighbors who live literally next door and those we meet in surprising places. You have called us to be a different and countercultural in a way that catches people's attention and points them to you. We praise you, Lord, for crossing the vast heavens to love us. Now send us across our street to love our neighbors. Amen.